Hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of Stand Up and Marvel. Today, we're talking about the season one finale of Ms. Marvel. This is our detailed breakdown and thoughts on the episode and the season as a whole, so there will be lots of spoilers. If you want to hear our overall thoughts without spoilers, we talked about that in our previous episode, so make sure you check it out. Without further ado, let's get into it. Okay, so let's do a little recap here again. So I'm not going to recap the whole season, but just this episode. So we learned that Bruno and Kamran survived the drone attack. The DODC are chasing after them. Kamala tells her family she's Nightlight. They already knew. Kamala finally gets her comic book accurate costume from her mom. Then we see CGI Kamala running around town looking for Bruno. And of course, stopping at red lights on the way. Then the DODC is searching for Kamran at the mosque. Bruno and Kamran manage to sneak past them with the help of the congregation. Kamran is losing control of his powers. Kamala, Kamran, and Bruno go to the school to try to hide from the DODC. Kamala comes up with a plan, and of course she gets to show off her artistic skills. They get everything ready while the DODC are getting ready to move in. The DODC invade the school. Zoe reaches out to her followers for help. Kamala and the team execute the plan to distract and annoy the DODC while Kamran makes his escape. The plan fails. There's a showdown between Kamala, Kamran, and the DODC. Kamala has fully mastered her powers and dominates the DODC, and then she helps Kamran escape underground. Then everybody is watching. There's lots and lots of onlookers. They flock around Kamala to protect her from the DODC, even the police, who do absolutely nothing to actually stop the DODC.
Yeah. Until like right at the end, like finally like turned and locked
but
arms.
They still didn't.
Well, no, they're forming a blockade and immediately stepped aside.
They're like, okay, that's all we'll do. Yeah. Turn around in unison. Go right on ahead.
Kamala makes her escape. Then Kamran and Red Dagger meet up. Are they friends now? Who knows? And then we finally see the shot from the trailers with Ms. Marvel sitting on top of the streetlight. Then Bruno finally decides to go off to Caltech, and he's taking Kamran's car with him.
That was good.
And then we get an end credit scene with the bracelet teleporting Kamala who knows where, and then Captain Marvel gets teleported back in her place. That's it.
In a new Captain Marvel suit.
Yeah.
I thought it looked like the same suit, but like
it's been altered.
Different, like they like cut this. Yeah, altered. That's what I was gonna say. Like
the sleeves were cut off.
She had gloves. Like
it almost looked like a one piece suit, but like more kind of like to what her comic book character is. Like more form fitting.
Okay.
You know, and it was more form fitting than the original one, where it was kind of more baggy on her. Yeah. If you ever like took a look, because like and that was like a big thing about the first Captain Marvel, where they're like, oh, you know, you don't want to overdo things and just make it all about the costume and everything. But in this one, it was definitely more form-fitting, and the sleeves were cut off and everything. Mm-hmm. So, which was, I thought, a nice change, really. And it will also, you know, we'll eventually find out why the change, you know.
Should we dive into that right now, or should we save the best for last?
No.
I mean, Colin, you did forget one important thing about this episode.
Massively important, but it's okay, because we're saving that for the end.
Zoe plays a critical role in this episode.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not what I was thinking, but that's good, too.
But you got it, Tim. Zoe was reached out to her followers.
Zoe knew the whole time.
She just popped up, and she's like, hey, guys. I'm like, wait, what? What are you doing at this
school? What are you doing here? Like...
Theater has good lighting for TikToks, I guess.
Okay, so going back to the post-credit, and they got me. I was a little bummed. I was like, what? Like, how does this land with the Marvels? And I was like, and I was kind of bummed. And then, boom, post-credit. I'm like, okay, here we go. And then it happened, and I was satisfied, but I wasn't, because I'm like, what? And actually, I might have taken it completely. Yeah, I was confused, but this is what is going to lead to great conversation, right, guys? Because maybe we all perceived this differently, the four of us. I perceived it that the bangle was protecting her from something that happened to Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. And they flipped places, and the bangle like protected her from whatever happened with Captain Marvel, and Captain Marvel came back to Earth.
I'm probably protected her by putting her in the dangerous situation that Captain Marvel.
Well, it switched, like, she like switched places with, well, no, like she switched places with her. Yeah, see, I don't know. That's so why I wanted to talk to you guys
so
about
maybe
it.
Maybe there's like some dangerous thing going on in Miss Marvel's world that we don't know about, and that's why it brought Captain Marvel in her place.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why I'm trying to dissect it. I
have a theory. I don't know. I have a theory on this.
Go ahead.
I think it. So okay. You know how there's two bangles,
but we don't know that though.
Well, it's mentioned
theoretically, two
bangles, right?
Yeah.
What if the bangles? What if the other one is not the bangles? It's Shang-Chi's rings.
Shang-Chi.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
I brought up this theory once before, as we did a previous episode, the episode where the Red Daggers were first introduced. And the leader of the Red Daggers said that he's heard so many stories about the bangles, but he never heard anything about the inscriptions, which are shown on another wrist-worn item in the Marvel Universe.
Right.
Shang-Chi's rings. They have runes inscribed into them as well.
Yes. So remember how at the end
they do
of that
are,
movie...
And they are kind of cosmic powers, you know.
Right.
Yeah, but that inscription doesn't.
But okay, well, hear me out here.
Anything, because I mean, we saw when it was added.
But so, yeah, hear me out here. At the end of and at the end of Ten Rings, the rings start resonating. They put out a message, and one of the people there that are investigating this message is Captain Marvel. She talks about how this is some sort of technology we've never.
She's not really. She's there.
She's not there. Yeah, but she's
so,
investigating.
So Banner.
Right. She's a part of it. Right. She's introduced as hey, whatever this next thing is, she's clearly interested in it because it's some sort of technology that she's never seen. I'm wondering if the same thing has now happened with Miss Marvel's bangle. And it's somehow linked to the same technology, to the same source. It's sending out some sort of beacon. Now, why the flip happened or why that switch happened, that could, you know, we might not find out until
the
Marvel's movie. And now this end credit scene is somehow now linked directly to that.
Yeah.
I'm also trying to think graphically, like how this swap was shown, because it wasn't like a portal opening.
No.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Right.
It's like her body was like scrambled almost and like thrust into the closet.
She looked like spaghetti, like Reed Richards. And
I was just about to say that.
Like, no, she did. Like, it was like this like weird, like twisty, like stringy look. And that's why for me, it looked like something happened. And I wasn't saying that like they actually physically switched places wherever Captain Marvel was, but it seemed as if like, she went somewhere else, like the bangle pulled her in. Yep. I don't know. I'm totally like,
I know. I'm trying to think through it. Like, what does this mean? I'm really confused.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, also, we've never in this entire series, we've never confirmed whether or not this is Universe 616.
I was gonna say,
I was thinking the same thing. Yes, thanks, Tim.
So
yes,
we never confirmed that this is Universe 616. So
I know. I was waiting.
We can't really rule much out of here. It's because like that's and I'm probably sure that's why they did it the way they did it this season finale, you know, leave it on the suspense, don't confirm that it's Universe 616. You know, if they did, then things would be like, all right, now I have no idea what's going on here.
You make me think of one more thing then, which was in the latest Spider-Man end credit scene where Venom gets ripped back into his universe is almost kind of the same animation. That spaghetti. Yeah, I'm trying. I mean, I might have to go back. I might have to go back and watch
it.
But I remember something like that. Like he gets, look it up. Cause I'm trying to think he got ripped back into his universe. So I'm wondering if, going by what you're saying, Tim, is this like a multiverse switch? Where
the portal,
Because
a portal opened in No Way Home with Venom, right? Did the ring? The circle, I can't remember now.
I'll have an answer in a few seconds.
Yeah.
But like the reason why I bring that up is because, like, you know, when we were talking about Shang-Chi and his rings, is that zone where the Guardian resides and the rest of his family, his aunt and all the villages, that's in a different universe than 616. They explain that when they show up and his aunt is taking them around the the tour of everything, she's like, our home is different than your universe. Our society is much more advanced than your universe and everything. I was like, so they're in a different universe? Like, so they were introducing multiverse in that movie too. So it's just like, where?
So I just big scope on this. Like, I was thinking it was space.
I watched it too.
Yeah. So they didn't actually show anything. They just showed Eddie Brock.
Just
he had his hands up like this. He was glowing.
Yeah, and then it disappears. And then it disappears.
They didn't show it at all.
So inconclusive.
Do you think that? Because I'm not trying to like reinforce my theory because it totally didn't pan out. Where I thought that the DODC. Well, part of them were Skrulls. And do you think this could be something of Nick Fury's doing where he put Captain Marvel there and then brought Miss Marvel to where he needs to be? Because you guys are definitely expanding the scope on it. I really wasn't thinking multiversal. That's a great, great, great theory. My mind just went to space. Like, she was getting catapulted somewhere in space.
Well, to be honest, when it happened, like, not gonna lie, the second she got pulled through that door, I got major Howard the Duck vibes there.
Oh,
here we go.
Here we go. This is the unannounced title, by the way, guys.
Thank you, Sam.
Here we go.
So, but yeah, it's just, you know, something made the swap. But then again, we also learn in this episode that Kamala is. Bruno tells her that she has a mutagenic gene.
We got it. That's a big one for a lot of reasons.
Let's hold on before we move too far away. I know we stopped talking about this a minute ago, but we were talking about the end credits scene in No Way Home, and just occurred to me, why not just see like before the end credits when everybody else was getting pulled back to their own dimensions, because they do actually show that. And it looks nothing like what happens to Miss Marvel. They're basically glowing, and then they like almost like get dusted almost.
Okay. So it's almost like whoever the villain may be in the Marvels, this might be their doing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, because that's a huge theory. And it was really funny though when she landed in the room and she's looking around and it's all her. Like, can you imagine getting coming in a bedroom and it's you everywhere and she's just like, oh god.
I know. And to be honest, like, she kind of looked like she was about to head out down like the stairs and down to the house.
I think the parents are gonna walk through
the house and just be like, so your daughter's gone.
Yeah. I think the cast is gonna be in the Marvels, like the family at least. I mean, for sure.
Yeah, but I can see them in the beginning of the movie, and you know, maybe this is what starts the Marvels movie. You know, she's been taken somewhere else and now Carol Danvers has to go find her and and that, and you know, they're in the beginning, like, probably picking up exactly where they just left off.
Yeah, and she's got to go make amends with Monica, and then maybe they team up together to rescue
You know, maybe she gets together with Bruno, you know, because Bruno knows a lot about her and her powers and everything.
We don't talk about Bruno. I had to throw it in there. We said
poor Bruno. It's so good though. I love that saying.
I'm glad he went to Caltech though. That was good. He needed to do that.
Yeah.
And that was great. He took the car.
But did he get to take the car?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no. Kamran's gone. He's out of there.
Nakia.
You know,
Nakia
the
was fighting him for it.
Yeah, that's true. She was driving off of it too. Does he ever get the keys back?
That's true. So funny,
I mean, though. if they really wanted to, Kamala could have just been like, she could literally just pick up the car and be like, you want the car? You want it?
You know, like, nobody gets it. Smash.
Work for it. For it, Bruno. could just like,
that's actually, picking up the car, that is something that really bothered me about this episode, because they pointed out deliberately in episode 2 that super strength is not part of her power set.
Exactly.
She can't even lift her own fists. There's no way she's gained that much strength in, you know, a few days.
That's not a bad point.
But you know, but actually, when they initially tested, she didn't have control of her full power.
Right.
So they said super strength is not one of your base sets, but you know, she's just received her power. She's just unlocked them.
Yeah.
Up and until was it this even, point,
I,
and
was
up
I
until
could
that
see it
point,
working if like she had like some kind of extension like below her fist, like supporting the weight of the car, but it, she had it like outstretched.
See, that's what I was gonna say. I was gonna say it wasn't super strength. It was the it was the metaphysical.
Magic.
The magic that she generates.
Magic is what. I think it's all about like more like willpower than it is actually physical strength.
Yeah.
Because I think like if you think about it in like I don't know if anybody plays like D&D, like
case,
concentration
sure.
basically.
Well, yeah, I mean like
we compared her
to Green Lantern in a previous episode. So
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it worked the exact same way.
You know,
but my point is that they didn't make that clear, and they
I want to say
that it's like something physical that she has to hold up, and she's not strong enough to do it. So
they even make Green Lantern reference. They're like, "Do you have to recharge it?"
Yeah.
Just did they miss that?
Yeah, she's like, "So how do your powers work? Do you have to recharge?"
Her family was asking
that. Was this
her
episode?
About
that. Oh man, I can't.
Yeah, that was that episode.
That was so funny. That was a really good scene. Her brother was great again in this finale. Like he was so funny. Mm-hmm. I love that character. Like so good. And I thought that was such a cool Home Alone feel in the school where they're messing with the DOC. It's just light,
just
you know. It was adolescent. It was just like, you know, it was just fun and different and not too serious, but it was serious. I don't know.
Yeah, I did enjoy that, but I just liked how he just popped up as Kamala's doing the plan and everything. He's like, she's like, "What are you doing here?" It's like, "Mom wanted me to look after you."
You don't like need chaperones.
Yeah, he's like, "You don't like it? Take it up with Mom."
Yeah.
It's like, what? He's like, "Don't forget, I went to this school too."
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
Yeah, he's like, "I jumped through the bathroom window."
Yeah, he's like, "I came into the bathroom window." It's not like they're locked or anything.
Yeah,
it's like, what accessible school in the middle of Jersey?
I know,
like,
right?
Okay.
Like, not only are all the doors unlocked, but also everything that they needed access to. I mean, sure, they were able to, like, break the glass to get the fire extinguishers, but... like
none of the base softballs were
like
locked,
that wasn't
up.
Locked up.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way
the pitching machines weren't even locked up either.
Yeah.
Like that's
maybe human nature is more responsive to safety when the world is surrounded by heroes, even though maybe it would be the complete opposite you'd think, because there's constant, you know, fear of villains and things happening. But I don't know.
I mean, off screen, Kamala could have just crushed all those locks
in the world of 616. Do you have super villain like emergency drills, like in case of a super villain attack? Get under your desks, cover your heads. You know, like
that would be something funny. They did kind of like explore that a little bit, not the same, but in Homecoming, where they had like Captain America as like the PE.
That's one of my favorite post credits.
Yeah, with Hannibal Buress. Yeah, like he was like an informative video on. Yeah, like it's so good.
They had a bunch of Captain America videos like that. It was funny.
They are pretty funny.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, that's a good point. Like, I don't know. I mean, nowadays in our world, we're having like, you know, shooter drills, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for obvious reasons. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it would make sense. Like, you know, they would have to adapt. So having supervillain drills would have to be, you know, it would have to be something they'd have to do. I don't know what you do. Do you have like a superhero on speed dial?
Yeah. I was even thinking of like the old timey duck and cover videos for Cold War, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, all right, in case that, that made me think of the lava episode of South Park.
Oh my god, duck and cover.
The duck and cover.
If there was villains, I feel like it would just be like run the opposite direction, like go as far as you possibly can and just run, because everything is probably going to be decimated in this radius.
Everybody just stands around and watches, but like, they got to get their video. You know?
I know. It's just like in case of villain, please call your home insurance agent.
And it's
building insurance has got to be interesting.
Oh yeah,
They actually touched on that in Daredevil.
They did.
Acts of God or supervillain are not covered.
Covered under your insurance policy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but should we go back to the big unveil that Tim just mentioned? Yep. Tim, you want to take it away with that?
I completely forgot which one it was.
About the mutant gene?
The mutant. Oh, yeah. The mutant.
They said the word mutant. Like,
yeah.
They finally said it.
And they played the X-Men theme.
And they did.
That was what, like, really. But it also disappointed me so much.
Yeah.
They played the song and then they told her, you know, you have a mutagenic gene. Because
They were kind of like wishy-washy about it. They were like, yeah, it's almost as if your genes are like mutated. Like not giving like a concrete definition. It didn't call her an
inhuman.
Right.
That's what I was thinking too. But inhumans are basically the same thing. They're just called different. They're essentially the same. So I think she is an inhuman.
Yeah.
In the comic book, she is an inhuman.
Right.
That's how she gets her powers.
There's reasons for this though.
But, yeah, I think I know where he's going.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
But like it's because he was like, I scanned the rest of your family and I did ran the tests and everything. They don't come back as much as you do, and but then as we know in X-Men, you know, not every person in the family has a mutated gene in their
I think she's still an inhuman.
I think she's an inhuman, and it's a great because it was a great, and that's how. And the thing is, like, it explains because in the comic books, Kamron gets his abilities from that mist. Though they played it a little different in this series, he still technically got it because his mother was exposed to it, and then her abilities were transferred to him or whatever. I don't even know if she had those specific powers, but whatever her dormant powers or whatever it is were transferred to him, and now he was exposed somehow and now has it. So same with her, I guess, you know, the bangle axes that Terezin missed, a thing that happens to her that grants her abilities and everything. But in the comic books, they are inhumans.
Yeah, I mean, I think she still is, and I think what's going to happen, reason that they played the X-Men theme song, I think, you know, Xavier's going to take her under his wing, you know? Well, assuming we get Xavier. I think she's going to be with the X-Men, because, I mean, she's a mutant like them, just, you know, an inhuman, not the same kind of mutant that they are. She's like a mutant from another universe. So I think she'll be, like, teaming up with the X-Men because of that
connection. Again, yeah, that's the thing. It's just, like, because nobody big made an appearance in this finale. We can't confirm or still deny that it's Universe 616.
Right.
So we can't really tell who's gonna be taking her under their wing, you know. I would love it if the X-Men came in and like even like Deadpool, you know, Deadpool shows up and just like in his crazy mannerisms just go, hey kid. He's like, hey kid, how would you like to be part of a team?
X-Force.
Yeah, X-Force. So it'd be really funny, you know, and when they played the theme and everything, I was like, oh man, this is going to be great. But then nothing happened after that, and I was a little disappointed about it.
But no, I mean, because, you know, if you think of who Professor Xavier is, like the reason he started his school and everything, I could easily see him, trying to get Ms. Marvel, you know, trying to help her out. So
he approaches kids that feel like
outcasts
and
powers they don't
and
understand.
Not normal. I wouldn't be surprised if he approached Kamron as well, because if he finds him, because, you know, in this episode, you know, Kamron's like, how do we go about being normal? And she goes, there is no normal for you and me.
Maybe Magneto will approach him.
Well, that's the thing too, like maybe Magneto will, like maybe he joins Magneto and everything. We'll just have to sit back and find out. But yeah, it'd be really great to see how this unfolds with the X-Men.
Michael, what were you gonna say?
What were you gonna say, Pete?
I'm wondering if you're thinking what I'm thinking.
We're probably thinking the same, maybe not. I'll take it away.
Yeah,
I think the complete opposite. I think that this was just a way of telling us they're coming, and now we're acknowledging that they're mutants, because we used to just say enhanced individuals, and now we're saying mutant. Now we can say mutant, right?
Yeah.
So let's get ready. I think that Ms. Marvel's going to space. I think she's out. I think she's going to go off in her own adventure with the Marvels and Nick Fury and what's going to happen with Secret Invasion. That's going to be a whole plot, its own thing. I think they're just planting the seed like they did in Multiverse of Madness. They did the same thing. They did the when he drove up in his, you know, thing and the chair, you know, they're getting us ready. They planted the seed. Mutants are here. Mutants are here to stay. X-Men is coming probably sooner than we think. I think what happened, it might be disappointing to you guys, but I think Kevin Feige basically just told us Inhumans are out, mutants are in. I know the correlation that you guys have. Yeah, I know the correlation you guys are putting together and it makes sense. But I'm going off of the failure that was the Inhumans show, unfortunately, what he just did with Black Bolt in Multiverse of Madness, unfortunately, and now this, where you, like Tim said, in the comics, she's an Inhuman. It's very clear that he said she's not an Inhuman in the MCU. Mm-hmm. She's a mutant.
Well, that was actually one of the things that a lot of Marvel fans are actually really upset about that. I read online after I watched the episode where a lot of Marvel fans are upset that, you know, they dubbed her a mutant instead of an Inhuman.
Sure.
But, you know, I understand because,
that's true, though. I don't think they said that she's a mutant. She had mutated genes.
No, they didn't. Which call could be her either a mutant or a mutant. But they didn't also didn't call her an Inhuman either.
Well, okay. So there's no proof that she's part of the X-Men. They play the theme song, which means nothing. I mean, it could just be a hint that the X-Men are coming. That's not necessarily specifically. And they did give us concrete proof that Inhumans are a part of her universe, like where she comes from, because of the Terrigen Mysticoons. Like, that's the only concrete proof we've got.
But, you know, if you actually think about it a little bit deeper, which is where I'm going to go with this real quick.
Okay.
If you think about it, because anybody who didn't receive their powers from some type of accident that was born with their abilities have been mutants.
Yeah. They're all, for all intents and purposes, Inhumans and mutants are just mutants. So,
thing is, Wanda is a mutant. She's the daughter of Magneto.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
She is a mutant. Like everybody else, Captain Marvel, she received her powers from an accident where she just absorbed the energy from a cataclysmic event. And like other people have absorbed, like from some kind of accident, gotten their abilities that way. So they're not mutants. Those people aren't mutants because they don't have the mutant gene as far as we know.
So I'm more with Michael on this one. I think there's an out of universe explanation for this. And it goes back to the way licensing worked for the X-Men movies. At the time, once the licensing went to, I forget, Sony Pictures, who was doing the X-Men movies Fox. For a while? Fox was it?
It was Fox. Yeah. And then when they
acquired Fox.
So that's when Marvel Studios made a huge push to say, hey, stop pushing out mutant content, because anytime we create a new character for that, that now gives the rights away to a completely different studio to make movies about it. That's why you got a lot of, that's why Ms. Marvel became an Inhuman. I read somewhere that there was actually an intention for her to be a mutant originally when they were designing the character. And there was that push into the studio that said, no, don't do that because you're literally giving away new IP. I think this is ushering in the fact that now, under one house, Disney has X-Men again.
Yeah.
So that we don't have this issue anymore. So they're kind of almost going back and saying, look, Inhumans are still a thing. They exist. But for all intents and purposes, we really want to push mutants. We've got X-Men. We want to start. This was the same reason why Guardians of the Galaxy was a thing, right? Technically, some of those characters are mutants, but they just didn't explicitly call them that.
Right.
I think it's more of a, we can now do it. Let's really push that. You know, we can get people excited. We can play the little tune. We can have the same, you know, we can have Xavier. We can start making all these references, and there's nothing stopping us from doing that.
Yeah, I think they're going to start flat out. They're going to start flat out calling people mutants now.
Yeah.
After this.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think,
Colin? No, I agree. I mean, I do think she's an Inhuman because I don't know why they would have shown the Terrigen Mist cocoon otherwise, but I don't think they're really going to do anything else Inhuman wise. They were just kind of giving that to fans to, you know, make them happy to say, yeah, we acknowledge that she's an Inhuman in the comic. She's still an Inhuman, but we're not going to do anything else with Inhumans moving forward. You know, I think that's all that is. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So what else do you guys want to talk about? I got a few more things.
Go ahead.
So what's the deal with Ant-Man?
Okay, I was going to bring it up, and I was really, as it was, like, my most disappointed thing that didn't happen in this episode.
I know.
Is that Ant-Man, and they had a great opportunity to do it, because you know how she's talked about how she listens to his podcast and everything, and right. We speculated maybe he listens to hers, but, you know, throughout this entire series, other than the first episode, she doesn't do anything with the podcast. Yep. But
yeah, that's why weird. They never circle back.
Zoe has a big following, and mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I wouldn't be surprised if Ant-Man follows Zoe on social media as well, because, you know, she did the whole sighting of Captain Marvel the first time that it came out and everything, and then she kept putting out content. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised if when she put out that call for all of her followers to show up and help them, that Ant-Man would be one of those people. It'd be mm-hmm. like, and then he shows up, he helps him out, he goes, yeah, so I saw Zoe's feet, and
I mean, maybe he was there, and he was, you know, just miniature.
I mean,
I
know,
standby, just yeah, like, all right, yeah. Something goes south, I'm gonna,
you know,
help
where
out.
He was,
you know, she's got this, she's
you know where he was this. He was digging the rest of that tunnel so Kamran could get out.
Yeah.
Where did Kamran go? Like, so was that supposed to be like
that?
The
was
sewers?
My one
like, what?
That was my inconsistency. Yeah. That I was
how
like,
is that taking him straight to the harbor? Like,
she
wait,
punched
what?
A hole in the ground, and then she's like, go to the harbor. It's like, you know, once I'm down there, I don't have a sense of direction.
Yeah, like, wait, what? Like, the sewers better be down there.
I mean, yeah, just
follow the signs. Yeah, just follow the signs. They all point to the harbor.
Use your powers. Yeah. They're drawn to water.
I was kind of like, wait, what? That's how he's gonna get there?
I know. Okay. I was like, she could have just opened up the back of her dome and just let him walk out and just kind of go. But she's like, go down the hole. No, okay, Alice, go down the hole.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, when that dome went away, it seemed like she was catching her breath. So I guess it was like locking in all the oxygen, like it wasn't letting any oxygen in from the outside. Is that what was happening?
Oh, interesting.
I didn't catch that.
I kind of got that vibe that she was like, because like there was wind swirling around inside there, and then it started starting to die down, of course, because, you know, the dome's cutting off the oxygen levels and everything. But also, you know, she did exert herself quite a lot. But
right.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was an oxygen level thing too.
Yeah, it could be either way.
I want to ask you guys a question though. What did you, and you know, this was something that I kind of was like off about the episode. Cause like in episode 5, we didn't really get a look at Kamran's abilities other than him knocking over the.
This is what I was just about to say. Drone. I'm glad you're going to say it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What did you think about how they portrayed his powers? I didn't like
it.
I thought it was really. I
mean, he was just losing
cheesy.
Control.
But like the way
terrible.
They CGI'd him.
It looked terrible.
It just looked a little sloppy to me.
Yeah, because
know.
They were trying to go for this glossy.
Hers was like really nice and really
yes.
like,
yes.
It's like they invested their entire budget into mm-hmm. her effects, and they were just like, he's just going to start screaming and you just go wild with whatever.
Well, it was like, it looked off because I think they were trying to go for this like glossy, crystallized.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying
look,
to go
and it
for
just
the
didn't,
same.
It just didn't look good. It made it look more CGI than
well,
anything
yeah,
else.
Yeah, it was
like,
really
it
over CGI'd.
Oh, yeah.
In my opinion, but like the yeah, color schemes that they were trying to go for the same color scheme that he has in the comic books, which was cool. But the way that they over-glossed it, as you said, and kind of over-CGI'd it, kind of just made it feel very out of place. Like,
yeah, I agree.
Like, I get, like, we all understand it's green screen and it's all this and that, but, like, my one thing that, like, the one real big one is, like, when his powers go into the van and Bruno and them are in the van and
yes.
you can just see them kind of just, like, they're like, it's like the director's like, it's now in the van. React.
It's right up to your face. Right
it's
by
right
your
up
eyes.
To your face. Yeah, like, yeah. move back. Like, as yeah. if it's going to touch you. Don't let it touch you. Don't let it touch you. It's just like.
It's
and
scary.
You just
it's
see
scary.
The bad CGI. Yeah. It's just like.
Yeah. It was rough.
And then when it disappears, they're just like, it's like the director goes, okay, it's gone. And they get out of the van. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I thought they could have done a little bit better with the way it looked.
Agreed. 100% agreed.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, another topic, I guess. We never got an answer on the
on what?
Blue arm. I think it was episode 3.
Oh, the one that we thought was a Kree?
That's been like a mystery for us this whole season. We've been going back and forth. Like, is it Kree? Is it a djinn? Is it what? Is it what's going on?
Do you know what we're talking about, Pete?
Yeah, I remember this. I thought it was a djinn, actually. Yeah, I just assumed it was a djinn.
We were thinking maybe Kree they tend to be blue skins and
they do tend to be.
Or that. I mean, that's a good point.
The Marvels.
Because we also don't know, because since all the djinn assume human forms, we don't know what their true form looks like,
right?
And it's hard to say, oh, that's a djinn. I mean, when they find it too, they don't really have any concerns about the fact that it's a dead djinn in front of them. It's just like,
so you make a really good point.
But they're also not confused about who is this.
Right,
you know, they're more concerned about the bangle.
That is true. They weren't like, oh my gosh, this is an alien. Like,
yeah, you know, they're what I mean? Like, they were, it's not an alien, but they're also like, oh my gosh, there are more of us.
Right.
We did get a brief look at, you know, what the people in their dimension look like. I mean, it's just like the shadows of them. So we didn't.
Well, that was when she first puts on the bangle, right? And she gets, it does that world flip thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought so too. You kind of get a brief glimpse at what they look like.
They looked very menacing.
They did. They did not look friendly.
Not as menacing as Kamran's powers, though. That was rough. I'm so with you, Tim. I was literally saying it to myself. I'm like, this looks so bad. He's like, what? I'm like, why? And I'm chalking it up to the show, like the budget with Disney Plus series. And you know, we brought this up before too, but it's the finale. Like, look at what they did to Moon Knight. Like, that finale was like, whoa. Like, the, you know, have your opinion on it, right? But like, visually how it looked and and everything, like they pump money into that for sure. And it's like,
exactly.
And I'm hoping that, you know, even her, I thought her abilities look good, not great. I'm hoping that in the movie it looks a lot better. I'm sure it will be. But
in the movie still look a lot better, and you'll have more detailed things, and everything. The reason why I thought Ant-Man was going to make an appearance was because she also did this small little growing thing when she finally mastered her powers. Like, she grew, like her arms grew longer, her legs grew longer, and when she cocooned herself and everything.
She does on the comics, right? Like, she goes big.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
She
shapeshifts a little bit. She stretches.
Yeah. She when she gets full control over her power, she can like basically. Like cocoon herself, like make herself like make it like her avatar type of thing.
Yep.
Where she's like, she pilots it type of thing.
So I want to say she can completely change forms too.
Yeah, I think so in the comic book. So I haven't looked too much into it. She actually has a good set of abilities that she can do. And I'm glad that we got to see one of them like really shine in this episode.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad we got the classic, going back to her catching the car, we got the classic, a superhero stopping a large moving object from hitting
innocent
a bunch
people.
Of people. It's like, not, that's how you know you've become the hero, right? Like, you stopped that object from crushing a bunch of people.
It was
Spider-Man,
you know, when she did that, you know, when she actually did
that. No, seriously, never will.
I know, right? when she did that, I thought, back to, I can't remember which episode it was. It's when Bruno gives her the mask for the first time. He drops it off to her.
No.
And she talks to the guy who's the head of the mosque, asking her, how does she convince everybody that she's good? And he's like, it's not something you are, it's something you do.
Mm-hmm.
And when she caught the car from going into the group of people, it's like, I just thought right back to that. It's like, it's not something you are, it's something you do.
That's,
and she
totally
saved
right.
them all.
That's totally
and
right.
That's when everyone's like, you know, and that's why, you know, after she did that and then everything settles down, they all rush to her and
that's
realize
really
she's not a threat to anybody. She's here to protect people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, but like, because the first time she shows up and does her powers and everything, like, and like the kid eventually showed up and like a little snippet, he's like, where was she when she broke my leg? He's like, I guess I must have been a beta test.
Yeah.
and like everybody was like questioning whether she was actually a good person or a bad person and everything. So I thought that was a great come around, like full circle at this end, where it's just like she did something good and proved everybody that she's a good person because of what she did. Because I think up until that point, I think when Kamran came out and they're like, oh, he has almost the same abilities that she does. Is she a bad person? Is she with him? Is this like, what's going on here? And then, you know, she obviously chose innocent people over helping out Kamran destroy everything.
Well, she even helped out the DODC agents in the school. Yeah. So she, like, I was waiting for them to kind of start talking amongst each other and be like, hey, she's like protecting us.
One of them acknowledged her because when she destroyed that machine, that cannon thing, and then she's like, are you guys okay? And he's like, yes, Miss Marvel.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
By the way, he literally called
it. Wow.
And I don't know how he knew what her name was at that point yet, too.
Oh, that's a very good point.
Because she hasn't come out publicly saying that she is Miss Marvel.
She didn't even know. She didn't even have that name yet.
She didn't
that
have was, the name there's a yet scene because later her dad, in the show. Yes. Her dad said, you are our own little Miss Marvel. That's but the guy said, yes, Miss Marvel.
Did you guys like that? Did you guys like that? How the family like fit those pieces for her? Like the mom gave her the outfit, the dad gave her the name.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I think that's the part of the show that I really liked was the family.
I didn't. Yeah. Well, that's what I've said throughout this series is just like, I like the family dynamic that they put into this show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as we're talking and everything, I mean, I guess, you know, my original score was a little too harsh. It was a little too harsh, I will admit, because like as I'm thinking about everything, you know, I'm really okay. So when I gave the score, it was because I was really upset, you know, that like Ant-Man, like especially Ant-Man, like they hyped him up the entire season and we didn't get anything. I was really upset about
Quantumania.
But yeah, I know Quantumania.
That's why I was predicting it.
But, you know, it was just, he was like, other than her room being plastered with Captain Marvel stuff, he has been in almost every episode, like mentioned or referenced or even his picture somewhere around. And I was really, really thinking they were going to put him in there somewhere.
Maybe he's been in every episode and we just don't know it.
Well, that's also maybe
they were like spying on her with Ant-Man to see if she's worthy to join the new Avengers or something.
Ooh, interesting.
Well, I know
Nick Fury's been watching her.
Yeah,
like Nick Fury's like, I need somebody who could be there but not be seen. And she's like, Paul, like Ant-Man's just like, well, you know, I don't have anything going on. And he's just there all the time.
Maybe he's like recording his podcast while he's there.
I know, like he's just like taking notes or something, and just like, she's coming into her own powers. We're going to Pakistan today. Like it'd be really
she
funny
just
if
grew big. Hey, that's my thing.
Yeah, I know. It's just he's like, hey, somebody else who I can relate to. I wonder if she requires orange slices.
They're definitely gonna have that. They're gonna say that to each other.
I know. But because she was like in the very beginning when she's like playing with her power, she's like, "Do you think I have the same abilities as Ant-Man?" And like that was like one of her things. And then she kind of does. I mean, she grows bigger and everything. So it was a really nice play. But I was really hoping that he was going to make the appearance of anybody that was going to be.
They might have done it and just cut it for some reason.
Well, that's the thing. I was just like, they must have done something where
maybe
they were like,
"That's take away from her."
Yeah, it just didn't play well or something. I mean, we did the Howard the Duck episode. He was actually in, I think, Infinity War, but his scene got cut. You know, because Kevin Feige said it didn't fit with the rest of the movie. So something like that could have happened in this where Ant-Man probably did show up and it's just like, well, this doesn't make sense or it doesn't fit with the rest of the episode. So we're just gonna cut it. I mean, maybe if if Ms. Marvel comes out on like a box set of for the season or some deleted scene, Ant-Man's
Is Disney selling these shows?
I don't know.
Physically,
I wouldn't
actually like merchandise. Like merchandise. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's merchandise somewhere.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's merchandise, but are they actually selling? Because like this, don't they try? They're trying to get everyone to get this the streaming service. Right.
Oh, I see. You're saying is like Blu-rays or something. Like
yes,
that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, do they have those shows? I haven't looked. Right, but
you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they were doing like selling the series and everything, like after they're done and everything, because you know, it's more money coming in because people want them. People want like they're collectibles at that point.
Of course. Like, yeah, they do exist. I just looked up Moon Knight.
Yeah, because I was gonna say they're okay, kind of they're collectibles. I mean, people take them to cons and everything and go, "Can you sign this for me?" Yeah. You know, it's not most people who collect the movies and the television shows, they don't really keep them to watch them because, again, they have the streaming services. They don't, so they're just like, they're more collectible items at that point.
Yeah.
So one thing I really want, like, the DVDs and Blu-rays for is the deleted scenes. Because I don't know where else you can see those.
And, like, director's commentary.
Yeah, the commentary. I would like to hear, like...
People probably put them on YouTube, though. I'm sure somebody...
I mean, I tried looking for deleted scenes, like... I don't know what came out most recently, like Multiverse of Madness. I was trying to find deleted scenes for that, and I couldn't find them anywhere.
The only deleted scene that I've found so far was for the first Thor movie, and I was just like, it was when they give him a coffee cup, and he goes and returns it to the woman at the diner because he broke hers. And I was like, oh, that was the scene that I've always wanted to see.
Oh yeah.
Oh, but yeah,
if anybody listens to this knows where to find deleted scenes, let us
know. Yeah, if you can find them, please let us know. I would love to see them because they're great to see, you know. It's like TV series and have limited amount of time, and it's the same with movies, you know. Movies have limited amount of time to get everything in there.
More canon stuff that, you know, we just don't know about because they're in the deleted scenes.
Yeah. But like actors' commentary are so much fun to like watch and hear them talk about it, and they're talking about, oh, you know, we had originally lined up this to happen, and then, you know, it didn't work out, so we went along and did this instead. Like
the shocking stuff you learn about, like,
yeah, I know, like if you ever watch like the Lord of the Rings,
Return of the King,
yeah, like if you ever watch like the Lord of the Rings,
like broken in one of the scenes, and you can tell,
it's broken. They were talking about how Peter Jackson puts himself in every single one of his movies.
Yep.
In every single one of those movies and everything like that. Like, even Orlando Bloom was like, it's like everybody was upset with him in The Return of the King because he was the only one of the cast members to actually kill Peter Jackson.
Yeah, that's right. He shot him on the boat.
On the boat. He's like, they're in the commentary, they're talking, and it's like, wait, this is where I kill Peter. I was just like, oh man, the commentaries are so great. But I really wish somebody can find deleted scenes for us. That'd be amazing to see.
But if you buy the films, right, the deleted scenes are a bonus. So you're just trying to find it without buying it, right?
I don't know if that's a guarantee that they're
paying for the service, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be nice if they would do that for us. They would add the extra, but I guess that makes sense because then people wouldn't buy the
people wouldn't buy
the real world.
Money makes the world go round, bro.
They could do a second commentary track on Disney Plus, right? Like, you support multiple languages. That's something you could definitely have.
Right. You know, eventually after a while, put it in the extra section.
Yes.
For the series, you know. But
I mean,
who knows?
Yeah, not right away. It doesn't have to be immediate, but just eventually.
Do you hear?
Yeah.
Do you hear that, Disney? We care about the director's commentary. Give it to us. Give us the director's
more. We want more.
Yeah, we want more content. Yeah, I'm the same way. I love when if there's something I really love, I want to know everything about it. I want to see the deleted scenes. I want to see the concept art. I want to hear the actors muse about it. It's just it's more fulfilling that way. You get more of a backstory, and then you see it too. Sometimes you don't even catch things. You're like, oh my god, right? Like, how have I never noticed what you were saying, like his broken hand, or that he's limping here, or this thing, he hit his head there.
Like, there are so many things that go on like in those movies where like if you really have to look for it. Mm-hmm. And like
One of my favorites when they're talking about the scene where Gandalf and Saruman are fighting, and they were talking about how challenging it was because it's two old men.
I know, I heard about that too.
Yes, that makes sense. And it looks so good. Being
tossed around like ragdolls. Yeah. Two old men. It's like, are you okay? Checking on them every scene. It's just like, cut. Where's the medic?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, we're filming this last.
One of my favorite scenes was, shortly after not to get off topic, but one of my favorite scenes in those movies is when Aragorn kicks the helmet and he screams out. They're like, they did 7 takes of that, and it was the final cut was where he actually kicks it and breaks his toe.
Yeah, I did read about that.
And they were like, that scream was genuine pain coming from him.
Yep.
I was just like, good lord, 7 takes, and they used the one where he broke his toe.
Peter Jackson was like, okay, that's the one. But my toe's broken.
That felt real.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. Like Peter Jackson goes, man,
great acting. Great acting.
You really brought the pain in that one. It's like, I broke my toe.
Yeah. The medic.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, all right, so let's get Vigo on ice. And
we're gonna have to reschedule his shooting the next week. Yeah.
I know. It's like, Doc, what can you do? I could put him in a boot. Boots don't exist in this world.
Back to Marvel though. As much, you know, Lord of the Rings is great. There was something that just happened. I saw that there was a concept art that was leaked. Did you guys see that?
No, I don't think so.
I saw actually a couple.
So there's some concept art being leaked from Wakanda Forever.
Oh, from Wakanda Forever. I did see some concept art leaked for Wakanda.
So I think let's leave it there and not go into the details.
I wasn't going to go into details. If you're interested, go ahead and check it out. That's awesome.
If you want to see it, just look
for it. Just look for it. It's actually quite easy to find.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, it's just
I wasn't searching. It's just that
it popped up on my Twitter feed. Somebody posted it on there, and I was just like, oh, so that's where we're going. Okay.
Do we want to talk about?
It makes sense though. You know,
do we want to talk about Miss Marvel little references that you guys may have noticed that other people haven't seen or may not have picked up on? Yeah. I got two fun ones.
Yeah, go ahead.
A couple fun ones. So somebody already mentioned them, those cannons. Those sonic cannons are from Hulk.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah. I thought
they looked familiar.
Yeah, I was like, is that
they're
my
just
same
miniature
weapon?
Versions of them.
Yeah, they're mini sonic cannons. Wow. I'm like, oh, they're Hulk cannons. I'm like, that's so cool.
I'm surprised they didn't do the exact same thing from the Incredible Hulk where they had two of them
directing them
into like a cone at her so she couldn't like move.
Yeah.
But the exact same thing happened in Incredible Hulk that happened in Ms. Marvel. They shot the cannon at Hulk, he jumped up in the air and smashed the cannon.
They're useless.
Marvel did the exact same thing. You would think they would be like, didn't we do this with the Hulk and it did not work out?
Yeah.
So did you think General Ross has some correlation with the DODC?
That's kind of where I was coming from, it that it's a continuation of whatever that department was. In the same way some of the Stark technology shows up now. Weren't the Hunter drones?
The drones.
And same thing with like the I want to say there was that very familiar sound that the DODC's weapons made. It was similar to Stark's hand cannon.
Yep.
I think like as tech got introduced or invented, you know, there would make sense. There would be a continuation of that, right? Like something would be invented and then they would co-opt it. That happened with the Iron Man suit, right? That's how
War Machine came about.
Yep, exactly. Right. War Machine. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, like, so what we don't know in the Marvel Universe at this point in time, especially since we're not sure if this is 616 as well, but even if it is 616, hypothetically, even if it is, Tony Stark is gone.
Mm-hmm.
I assume Pepper Potts is now in charge of the company, but what has she done? Who, like, does General Ross have some type of contract with them going on? We don't know what's going on with Stark Industries at this point in time. You know, that's one thing that, you know, they never really touched base on. Like, what happened to Stark Industries after Tony Tony died. You know, are they still manufacturing? They're obviously not manufacturing weapons anymore, but maybe they started back up again for the military purposes again. You know, we don't know what's going on with Stark Industries, and you know, maybe the government got their hands on it for some something. You know, Stark Industries is a corporation. It still needs to make money. It still needs to bring in revenue and everything. I mean, Pepper has a daughter. You know, she still needs to take care of family. So mm-hmm. we don't know what's going on with Stark Industries. And I would really like them to kind of touch base on what's going on with there.
Oh, they will.
I think they will. With
I know yeah. they will, but I kind of was hoping they would touch base like a little hints here and there.
Mm-hmm. We'll definitely get something with Ironheart.
Yeah, me too. I think that's
yeah.
I think so too, and I think we're getting Justin Hammer coming back again.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. I think he's going to take advantage of Tony being gone finally.
I think you're right. We could see that. Yeah,
100%. And Sam Rockwell will 100% do that.
Pepper's going to stand for that.
She's coming back. I think she's stepped down.
I'm going to go as far as I think Gwyneth Paltrow's done with the MCU. And I think they're going to just say that she stepped down and she retired and she's going to focus on being a mom. And then we may get her a little bit, but I think they're going to choose someone else to run Stark Industries. Probably a familiar face, someone we know. Maybe even, I don't know, not War Machine, but because he's super military. It would be someone that's like not military, but kind of military. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But I could see her. I could see her stepping down.
It felt like they were kind of doing that originally with Spider-Man. That felt like the original direction for Spider-Man. They were doing like the Iron Spider, but then.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like he was kind of pruning Spider-Man to become the next Tony Stark.
Yeah.
But then everything unfolded, and there we are.
It was a soft reset. That's what I. That's the way.
Yeah,
I like
that. Yeah, I like that. I like that.
It's a soft reset. That's the way I like to think of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so other references. The Sonic Cannons. Okay, I don't know if you guys caught this. The at the very end, get in losers, we're getting shawarma.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. That I was did from- I caught that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh yep. Yeah. I was just like, hey, yeah, I'm like, they all love shawarma. This is great. Like
you guys that warm- see that shawarma place?
Shawarma's delicious. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That warmed my heart. It also made me want to get some shawarma.
I love it. Recommend it to anybody. That ending scene in Avengers where, because like when Chris Evans has his hand up like this, it's to hide his facial hair because he already started filming another movie.
Because
they had to come back and film that scene for the shawarma. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, hey, so we need, he's like, so they're just like, yeah, so they just had his hand in front of it instead of doing what they did with Superman.
CGI'd have his lip. It was non-existent.
There was no upper lip. When they came back and released the Zack Snyder version, he was just like, so let's do this right.
Yeah.
Henry Cavill's a handsome lad, but with an upper lip, that was
I know, right? They could have
Oh, DC.
The other one I mentioned. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just gonna say, how many millions of dollars did they pump into that?
I know.
Yeah, seriously.
So much money pumped into removing his lip.
Yeah. Being that person too, be like, oh, you grew a mustache. Like what? I think it was Mission Impossible.
It was Mission Impossible. Phenomenal movie.
You do not say no to Tom Cruise.
Oh
no.
Yeah.
you don't say no to Tom Cruise.
A brief thing on that, but they were talking about how, like, in the scene in Mission Impossible, when Henry Cavill pumps his arms.
Yeah, he cocks his arms.
But they're like, did you notice that he grows a beard in that scene? Tom was saying he's like, we've watched that so many times and we don't know how he did it because it's not CGI.
Wow.
He's like, if you do it like frame by frame, Henry Cavill's beard like gets really thick after he cocks his arms, and they're like, we have no idea how Henry Cavill did it.
Superhuman.
I know. It's like maybe he's a mutant.
Yeah, he's indeed. He's an inhuman.
Who can just grow facial hair really fast.
He was amazing in that movie. That movie was so good.
Oh, it was really good.
Love Fallout.
Excited for the next one.
I did catch the shawarma bit. I thought that was really good.
I love that little reference. The other little bit that I noticed, this is more of like a timeline question I had for you guys. Mm-hmm. There's a shot of the Statue of Liberty. Did anybody notice anything?
It was normal, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was normal. It did not have
the... no damage.
Well,
no, do you think... nothing around the area.
But maybe again, we can't confirm that we're in 616.
We can't confirm, but also right. you could still say that maybe they decided to go with the, you know, Captain America Statue of Liberty, because that's what it appeared in No Way Home. They were doing like a Statue of Liberty crossed with Captain America's shield, right?
Yes,
that's
yes. That's like a,
but like maybe homage. Because it destroyed, they decided, hey, you know what? Maybe that's a bad sign. Let's just redo the regular Statue of Liberty again.
And that's fair. That's fair. But to me, I was trying to place it. I'm like, okay, so wait, where in the timeline?
Like where, then in the timeline
where in the timeline is Miss Marvel happen? Yeah, is this pre that episode? Is that pre this? Is it after? And then if it's after, they've clearly already cleaned everything up and fixed everything. So how much time has passed? And this is where I start to go back into looking at the original phase four timeline for just releases and trying to place where everything is supposed to happen, because I think that kind of gives you insight on what they were originally planning.
Yeah.
And then kind of how it's, yeah, as yeah, because of COVID, everything got shifted around. So that's something that's an open-ended question. I think it may add a little detail. It may add a little bit of weight to your guys' theory that this is not 616, that this is potentially a different universe even.
I'm on my own with this one.
Colin was the first one who claimed that we are not in 616. Yep.
Okay, Colin, then there's more evidence.
I'm honestly googling it right now because I'm curious what people think about this.
Yeah,
but also Colin claimed that also made his prediction that Doctor Strange was going to show up at the end.
Well, so that was part of our series ends series. So as soon as I get a prediction right, the series ends. So I was deliberately trying to do something that was kind of out there.
Oh, that's a good save.
I know. I didn't forget about your prediction, Colin. I didn't forget about it.
Well, that series gets to continue because it didn't happen.
I see what he did there.
So Pete, I don't know if you listened to the episode, but my prediction was that Doctor Strange was going to come through a portal to recruit Miss Marvel to join the New Avengers, and he was going to tell her in some way that this is not Universe 616.
Okay.
Like, he would say something like, I want you to come over to Universe 616.
Yeah. He's like, hey kid, we need your help. Let's go.
Kind of like what Wong did for with Shang-Chi.
Strange is done with kids right now. He's over it.
He's
been around too many kids now.
He's also with Clea right now, so I'm not really sure if he's done with that little excursion.
I'm alone here. I'm the only one that thinks that this is 616. I just think that it's questionable where it lands in the time frame, because we did have a huge discussion about this in the episodes, and I, you know, it's definitely post Endgame, right? But how close to Endgame is it?
Right.
And if you want to go by the Statue of Liberty, then this is before No Way Home.
Okay, so that's you're going. It's pre No Way Home, and I think that would make more sense to me as well. Yeah. If assuming it's 616, it would make, because otherwise I would assume that there'd be like a big cleanup, you know, there'd be some, they would potentially show damage left over from the remnants.
100%.
Right? You know, something to indicate that it was after.
No, I think this is around the same time as like Far From Home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I need to see Far From Home again to like really analyze it. But I, you know, not saying it's exactly the same time, but I think it's very within a year, 2 years after Endgame.
Mm.
So, but who knows?
Cool. I had one more, just one fun one. At the very end, when they're doing all the TikTok videos, they keep cutting away to some kid doing like a bunch of karate moves, or somebody doing karate moves. Do you guys notice what his username was?
No.
It's Master Paul 616.
Is that a what reference is that from?
It's just the 616 shows up.
The
616 in his it's Master Paul 616, which I was like, oh, look at you guys, like. And whenever I see things like that, whenever I see a lot of text on screen, I'm the person, I'll stop and pause, and I'm like, what did you write here? Like, is there anything I can pick up here? Are there any websites? You know, are there any like in show references? That was the only one I really noticed.
I was thinking of Master Paul. I totally overlooked 616. I was like, wait, Master Paul, what is
that? Yeah, like, what is that? Like, yeah, like,
so
who,
fixated
like,
on that.
Wait, is that, Master, is that
like, Paul Logan? Like, what are you talking about here?
Oh, goodness, hope not.
Yeah, right. Away. No, just the 616. I just, you know, my eyes lit up. I'm like, oh, look at you guys know who you're pandering to.
And I did read something where, like, I'm gonna butcher this. Like, I guess I think she's like trying to get it out of Feige, and like Feige was like looking at her from somewhere, and he just put up a finger, like he did 616 on his hands, and like walked the other way or something. You'll see it online. It's all over. It's all over online because it was
okay.
It's in conjunction with the AMA, or she was just on Reddit, so she was answering questions and stuff like that. So
interesting.
So there, she probably wants to know as much as we do.
Yeah, so. For sure. For as excited as she is, we were talking about them before, the enthusiasm that she's shown. Mm-hmm. I could see her geeking out and being like, "Which universe is this? Like, tell me."
I'm sure she's just as curious as everybody else. She's, if not more, she's like going. Could you imagine like going through filming this entire season and not knowing whether or not this is Universe 616 or not?
Mm-hmm.
That would just drive me insane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like every day, like I'm pretty sure that's like why she like texts, like she's so confident that she can text and is like, "You haven't told me a thing."
Mm-hmm.
I can just see. First thing in the morning, is this 616? Not today, come on. Not today. Not today. Next morning, is this 616? She is just not gonna stop.
Oh, yeah. Persistent. She definitely is probably persistent. He's gonna tell her, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Well, I don't
apparently
think
there was an MCU book released in 2008 that did actually give it a designation, and it was not 616 like the main MCU continuity. Is universe 1999999 5 9s?
Yeah, I'm googling this right now.
Wait, for what?
The main MCU continuity. So they're claiming, a lot of people are claiming though, that it's, that's not before 616.
But the book came out in 2008. That's before, that's Marvel. Oh, MCU started in 2008. Iron Man was May 2nd, 2008.
It was an MCU book. That's that's what this says. Iron Man came out that same year, so I'm guessing it came after.
Hmm.
Huh.
Interesting. So,
but maybe that's because, maybe that's just a random number that they gave it because they didn't have an official designation yet. I don't know.
Huh.
It says long before Doctor Strange and Far From Home, Marvel published a coffee book table in 2008 titled Official Handbook of the Marvel Universe, A to Z, Volume 5. It was released the same year as Iron Man. The book officially designated the MCU as Earth, and then what you said, 1999999 5 9s. For almost two decades, fans assume this was the end of the story until now. I'm gonna go with at the time, I think that some editor, some writer somewhere threw that in there because the main timeline was 616 and it was the comic book timeline. And so in order to give the MCU its own, you know, its own universe, they gave it that. And then somewhere down the line, Marvel decided, you know what? No, we're gonna hit fans with this one being 616. Like this is the golden timeline or the golden universe, whatever you want to call it.
The sacred timeline.
That's what it is. Sacred timeline. Thank you. Yeah. Sacred timeline. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Interesting.
So I still don't know which one this is, but yeah, I mean that scene near the end does seem to hint that it's 616. I mean, it probably is. I was just being hopeful because my theory was not only that it wasn't 616. But that this was the universe that Doctor Strange saw in Infinity War when he was doing his head spasm thing. And
I was just about to say that
this is like one where they defeated Thanos.
Yeah, because he was like, even though in Infinity War when he was doing his look into the future, he said that he looked into, I think, a million futures, and there was only one instance. But like, yeah, a million futures could also mean a million. Well, he may not have been aware at the time. He may have been looking into a million different universes.
Hmm.
I think he used the word universes. I don't remember.
I think he said I looked into a million futures.
Which could have just been a million futures of 616 and not a million universes.
But you know,
he might have not saw past.
It had to be different universes that he was looking into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is why I need that next right. episode, Colin, so I can understand all that. I need you to explain all this to me.
I mean, it's the same thing that happened in Multiverse of Madness with Scarlet Witch, like dreamwalking. It's essentially the same thing.
That's what
I was just
doing.
About to mention the dreamwalking. It's just like, it's almost as if he was dreamwalking, but he didn't have the book It was like he was doing it a different way.
Gotcha. Yeah. When it comes to multiverse stuff, I just kind of like to throw my hands up in the air.
It's like, yeah, beta, it's like beta testing Dreamwalking.
It's just, yeah, just let, you know, I'm going to let it happen.
Me too. I'm waiting for them to explain it like the way that they wanted it for the masses, you know, because we can go in and, you know, break it down the best we can, but they haven't really given us a lot of tools to work with either, right?
Well, yeah. I feel pretty good about it. I think Tim does too. So, you know, okay, we're going to be doing an episode soon explaining everything about the multiverse, how it works, mostly based on the evidence that they've given us in Loki and What If. And then we're going to talk about some specific stuff, you know, about some of the characters like America Chavez and the Living Tribunal, that there's only one version of in the entire
Living Tribunal.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll looking forward to a bunch of stuff with that.
Yeah, it sounds cool.
In the next few weeks. So
speaking of the multiverse,
I definitely need it. I definitely need that.
Oh yeah, yeah, I'm down. That's gonna be great.
Quick little,
I think everyone needs it right now.
About the Multiverse of Madness.
What's up?
I saw this online where it was, so in Multiverse of Madness, Wanda explains how she is unaffected by hexes or anything because of her abilities. So when Doctor Strange cast a spell to erase the thought that everybody knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man, since she's not affected, did Wanda know that Peter Parker was still Spider-Man?
Oh.
Wait, say that again.
What? So in Multiverse of Madness, she explains how she's unaffected by hexes and spells because of her own Scarlet Witch spells that she casted. But when Doctor Strange cast a spell to erase the thought that, so everybody doesn't know that Peter Parker is Spider-Man, she's unaffected by that spell, wouldn't she? And still know that he is Spider-Man?
Right.
Yeah. But, right, you know, her mind was in another place. She wasn't, you know. Yeah, I'm sure she still
knew. I mean,
she
like, it's irrelevant. Yeah, it's irrelevant information. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. It's like the only person in the world that still knows that he's still Spider-Man is Wanda, who just doesn't care.
That's a really good point.
I looked just up like a quote out of curiosity. So Dr. Strange said, "I went forward in time to view alternate futures." So yeah,
alternate futures.
Yeah,
alternate.
So he didn't specifically say dimensions, but he had to have been looking in other dimensions.
Well, so and then, well, so wait, hold on, and this is okay. So wait, pause for a second. You mentioned dimensions. In my head, dimensions are separate. No, yes, in my head, dimensions are separate from universes.
I agree. That's what I think.
Well, there are some dimensions that work differently. Like there's the quantum realm, and there's, you know, some car that's outside of like time and space, and the TVA that's also outside of time and space. And I think Asgard also works the same way. So there are some exceptions, but it's apart from those few exceptions, they're just different universes. And I don't know. Okay. I think they kind of use the words universe and dimensions interchangeably. But
I'm gonna be a stickler on this. Oh, I want to get this right.
I want you guys to like question me and, you know, talk about all this stuff. I'm gonna try to get my facts straight for that episode. Right now, that's my impression, but I will, you know, do some research to make sure that I'm not, you know, spouting bias here.
Because we had the Jin dimension,
right.
And then we also have the ancient one with Doctor Strange and everything. Yep. That's another dimension within our universe.
And then don't we have like the dark dimension, which is where, what's the
dark dimension is in the universe. But I don't know. I think dark dimension is one of those things that there's also just one of. They make it seem like there's just one of it. Whereas, you know, like there's basically infinite different versions of every type of universe. You know, so there's like infinite paint universes where everybody's paints. There's just like different variations of it because every time somebody makes a decision that was different than like one version of a different universe, it creates an entire new universe. So there's no infinite paint universes, infinite Evil Dead universes, infinite Star Wars universes. Like, you know, there's infinite of all of them. But there are some like exceptions to that. Like I said, the Living Tribunal and America Chavez. And I think the Dark Dimension, there's only one version of that. And, like the Temple of the, like, the Darkhold, you know.
Okay.
So there are like some like exceptions, but for the most part, there's like infinite versions of all of them.
Okeah, we'll save it. We'll save it for we'll save it for the greater conversation.
Well, yeah, because like they interchange a bunch of realms that mean the same thing throughout the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
Like, they even toss in the too, world. Realms, I was just about universes. To say realms, which is also universes or dimensions can be interchanged with realms as well, because in the first Thor, when Thor is explaining the world tree to Jane Foster, he calls them realms.
He's right. Like, and when I first saw that movie, I thought he was talking about just like different parts.
Yeah, that we had talked about this in that where
I thought realms were in the same universe.
That's what I thought the first time I saw it. But as you know, the MCU has been going on, we've been getting into the multiverse. I think it's actually different universes. I had a good reason for thinking that at one point. I don't remember right now, but again, that's something I will do some research on. I'm actually going to make a note about that right now.
Yeah, universes, dimensions, realms, and timelines.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's just like, it's like as if dimensions exist in the same universe, but can exist in alternate universes as well. As long as it's within their own universe, it's called a dimension or something like that. It's really up to really how you perceive it. Because like in Universe 616, when Clea shows up to Doctor Strange and she rips open the space and time, and you can see from what we can understand, it's a dark dimension on the other side. That's within the universe of 616, I believe. And you know, because they keep referencing dimensions. I'm not saying it was the dark dimension, but it looked like the dark dimension.
Well, because like the way the dark dimension works, like they go around absorbing other universes, essentially, right?
But isn't Clea the sister or the daughter of his name?
She's from the dark dimension.
Right. So it would kind of make sense if she had a direct line to get back to it despite wherever it is.
Sure. I guess I don't get your point.
Well, like I'm just saying, like if it we don't confirm that it is the dark dimension that she ripped a portal open to, but
oh yeah, it just seems very likely.
It just seems very likely because that's where she's from, Doctor Strange, and everything, and she can you know, she can just rip open. I mean, it's make it easy for her to just travel between the dark dimension and to wherever she wants, knowing that she can get back to it at any point in time. But you know, again, there's a lot to cover in all these.
Yeah. We'll dive into it in that episode for sure. All right.
I think that about wraps it for
Ms. Marvel.
Ms. Marvel, right?
I had a couple more things.
No, please do. I'm interested. So,
did you guys notice that CGI Kamala when she was like, after she found out that that the CODC was chasing after Kamran?
Where Nokia Kamala said the circle off. Key was blown up.
That was like really obvious CGI. I did not like that.
I didn't like that, but I thought there was going to be a little comedic moment. Like she had it accidentally on speaker, and Nokia says the circle key was blown up, and then her father was like, "Not my pies," because he's so obsessed with the pies that he gets at the circle keys. He's like, it's the only place I can get away from my wife to get these pies.
And then one other thought. Do you think we're ever going to see the Jin dimension? Because we were talking about how, you know, we think they're probably done with the Inhumans. But if they're done with the Inhumans, I don't think we're going to see the Jin dimension, because I think Inhumans are from that dimension. So they're going to have to address them if we show them again. You know.
I think we're going to see the Jin dimension or the universe, however you want to call it. I don't think we're done with it, because I don't think there's only one way to get in there. I think there's probably multiple different ways to get in there.
Well,
there's another bangle, but I also, Doctor Strange could probably get himself in there as well. Chavez can get in there as well. Yeah. You know, there may be more to her unlocking her full abilities, maybe by going to the Jin dimension and learning really who she is or something like that. But you know, it's really up in the air at this point. But I don't think we're done with it, because
they invested a lot in that story.
They invested a lot into it, to just be like, poof, now we're not focusing on that anymore. Like they said, if it releases, it's going to destroy the world as we know it. And it's just like
we still have Kamran and what's his face.
Right.
And yeah, we still have Kamran, and we still don't like. It would be nice to know also know why were they banished in the first place.
Right.
Like so there are still unleft questions.
Yeah. There's a few they left us with. So yeah, I agree. I don't think we're done with it. So I'm gonna have to go back on what I was saying before about them being completely done with the Inhumans. I think the focus is gonna be X-Men, but we are gonna get a little bit more on the Inhumans just to get some backstory.
I hope for you, because I really think Kevin Feige's like, it's not happening.
Where are you even getting maybe I missed this, where are you getting that the Inhumans are from?
Yeah, I don't really get the correlation either, because I don't understand we didn't really explain the Terrigen Mist.
Yeah, five when the two Jin try to go back through the portal, there's like a Terrigen Mist cocoon that forms around their body before they turn into skeletons and the Nash. So we know what that looks like because they showed that and explained the full backstory of the Inhumans in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
Oh, that's why I completely have no idea what you're
talking
about. I was like, man, I missed that reference.
In Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they did bring up the Inhumans and how they gained their powers through the Terrigen Mist.
Okay.
But, you know, and it explains why, almost explains why, you know, the Jin that tried to go through the portal, why they died, and why, you know, in S.H.I.E.L.D. they didn't die. In S.H.I.E.L.D. they had a controlled amount that they exposed them to so that they can gain their powers and not die.
But it's also because they said that her DNA was different than they just weren't Inhumans. Like they were capable, it's like in their blood, but they just didn't have that mutant gene that allowed them to like
return
humans, and because they didn't have that when they were exposed to the Terrigen Mist, they died instead
but
of
I al- gaining yeah but powers, I also like, think I also think that is something that also has to relate to, like, you know, they're taking on the full force of that. It's just like flowing right through them, and it's like you get overexposed.
That happened in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too,
but they didn't get overexposed, the true
ones survived. I'm pretty sure I've seen it.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and watch it.
We'll do a series on this show eventually.
When did they say Terrigen Mist and Ms. Marvel?
They never said it.
So you guys are just assuming.
I'm also going
to
say
it looks exactly the same. It was so, well, I mean, it had to be because she's an Inhuman in the comics, and it was Inhumans in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So just putting two and two together, and the fact that it looked exactly the same, it has to be.
So I'm guessing, if it's anything like the comics, that it's from the Kree.
What's from the Kree?
The Terrigen crystals, or the Terrigen crystals.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Tim, but I'm pretty sure it was from the Kree in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 2, wasn't it?
I think yeah.
Pretty sure. So I would lean harder on the idea that Inhumans are a product of the Kree more so than being a product of the Jinn from that universe.
Interesting.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Kree created the Inhumans, but like they exposed the population, I think. I don't remember the exact story. And then
a portion
of them gained the Inhuman genes, and some of them didn't.
Yep.
So the Terrigen Mist is what determines if you have the Inhuman gene or not. And that's why when those Jin went back, they died. But if Kamala was to go back, she would probably survive because she's Inhuman.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's a good thing you mentioned that, because I completely forgot about that connection to the Kree. So that could explain the arm again.
Yeah, that's literally that's what I was thinking. I'm like, which now makes me think that that was a Kree more than it was a Jin.
Yeah. Mm.
So
interesting.
All right. Any other final thoughts?
I'm still leaning towards maybe a 7, but yeah, I'll let you know. I'm still at 6.5, just because I would. The last half just kind of bummed me out. Because I look at it critically, not as like I enjoyed the show. Like I enjoyed her. I enjoyed, like, it's just, I looked at it as, you know, like a show, like a television show, and the plot, and I just feel like they're, you know, it was a simplistic story, but it was also muddled in a lot of points. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, it still was enjoyable. It wasn't my favorite of the year. My I'm still with Moon Knight. I felt about the last part. That show is
absolutely was so good.
It's so good.
Have you seen it yet, Pete?
Yeah, I have. Okay. I really enjoyed Moon Knight as well. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, what about you, Tim? Have you brought your rating up?
For Ms. Marvel?
Yes.
Yeah, I brought it up.
Wait, what's it at now?
I will give it a solid... I'll bring it up with Mike and I'll put it at a 6.5.
You want to do a 6.8?
Yeah, let's
bring it out. Let's split some hairs.
All right, 6.8.
Okay. Well, I'm sticking with the... I was between 7 and 7.5. I'm going to land on a 7.5.
Yeah, me too. Okay. It's a 7.5 for me. For a show that I had initially no intention of watching, I was very, very pleasantly surprised.
Like, I was planning on watching it strictly for the podcast. I was not, like, super excited about it. But I'm really glad I watched it. I liked it a lot more than I thought I would.
I had one comment on that too. I think what happened here is Disney may have made the mistake of releasing the show at the same time as Obi-Wan.
Because
Obi-Wan stole my attention. Miss Marvel was off my radar.
It was really hard to keep up with both of them at the same time.
Well, that's the thing. It's just like, I'm not gonna lie, on Wednesdays I was more excited to see the new episode of Obi-Wan than I was to see Miss Marvel. Not gonna lie, it's just hands down Obi-Wan's just got my heart.
Yeah.
And then the boys started too. Like,
and then the boys started.
There's just too much going on at
like,
once.
Like everybody vying for control.
Stranger Things and
too much good content.
Too much good content. Actually, just want to talk about one thing real quick because I actually looked it up here, and it's an interesting theory as to why Najma and the others died. One is because, you know, they're unable to reverse their exile, but also the fact that due to their time in exile, they start to become more human than they are Jin now, because as we can see, Kamran is not affected by the whole, you know, we don't age type of thing. You know, yeah, they're 100 years old and they still, because their connection to the Noor, but they're still slow. I think if time goes on, they would slowly completely be disconnected from the Noor and probably become full humans at that point. So as they explained, the Red Daggers explained, like if their universe was unleashed onto our world, it would destroy everything, including the exiled clandestines. Like, it's making no exceptions here.
Yeah, that could be it. Makes sense.
So, yeah, because like I was just thinking, I was just like, man, I can understand that. And it's kind of like plays on Najma's, the fact that she's kind of turning human too, because she makes like that sacrifice, you know, to that, I don't know, quote unquote human choice, because she was, as a Jin, she was like nothing but obsessed with getting home. Like, she even left her son behind, and then it's like the human thing to do was to, you know, sacrifice herself and protect her son, you know. So who knows, but
so you're saying that Jin from the other dimension are inhuman. Sorry,
I will. Colin's gonna find Kevin Feige and be like, you need to tell me now.
Humans
are in this or not, man.
I need to know.
Feige, this is the 100th letter that I've mailed to you.
These will not stop until you tell me.
Shawshank Redemption taught me anything except persistence pays off.
This is true. Yeah, persistence. Yeah, persistence over time.
Feige, this is letter 616. Pun. But besides that, I would like to know if there's inhumans.
Only I had his mailing address.
Could you imagine it? He writes back and he's like, Colin, you are inhuman.
I'd write back, oh, I'm honored.
He did not deny it.
That's a yes, I'll take it.
That's a yes in my book. Case closed.
Does that mean I'm going to be in the next movie?
There you go.
I would look out for in the credits. Be like, that's my cousin.
Yeah.
Extra number 293.
Oh yeah, I'd be an extra any day. Just go drive to Atlanta.
Sure. Yeah, they get paid a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. All right.
They get paid up like $80 an hour.
I think we'll call it there.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
Be right back for a quick outro. Thank you all so much for joining us. We love Ms. Marvel, so we can do this all day. But for now, we're going to call it a wrap. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to drop us a like, rate us, follow us, share this with a friend, all that good stuff. You can find us all over the web. Links for everything are in the channel description. And make sure to check out the polls on Spotify. We'd love to hear from you guys. And join us next time. We're going to be talking about Comic-Con 2022. Everything we know about it and some of our predictions about it as well. So once again, thank you so much for tuning in. We love you all 3,000, and we hope you're all staying safe out there.
Thanks, Marvel fans. Catch you next time.
Bye.